Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
I know you missed me too. Anyway, it's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com, and on the number one talk radio station in all of Florida, WWPR 1490 AM, and everywhere else you can find me, Instagram, Facebook, broadcasting on Facebook Live, and also on the Ron Kelly Show, well, not tonight, but on the Ron Kelly Show, Ron Kelly Show YouTube channel. Okay, everybody, thank you so much for joining me. Man, you know, it's been a wonderful 2 weeks. I haven't been here. You know, apologize to the folks who were looking for me last week and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I got to get better with that, being responsible. Because even at this age, you know, it's still a little difficult sometimes to be responsible. Anyway, everybody, welcome back. Thanks so much for joining me. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Okay, so Hurricane Isaias came through with a vengeance. Okay, where's my stuff at? Okay, all right, so back in bed, and everybody, welcome once again. It's the Ron Kelly Show, the most informative and enlightening talk radio program on the planet. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com. So Hurricane, or should I say, it was a Ronald McCready. What's up, my brother? Shout out to Chambers. Love you, my sister. So Hurricane, or Tropical Storm Isaias, ripped through the New York metropolitan area on Tuesday. And we sent our prayers to the folks who lost loved ones. I believe, I'm hearing that about six people passed away, you know, due to the storm. So we want to send our prayers out to those folks who suffered, and many of you who are still without lights, like 2 days later, with some estimates that the lights won't be back on until next week. Wow. So they say necessity is the mother of invention. But actually, money is the motivating factor for invention, whether you like it or not, to invent or not to invent. So if you haven't noticed that hundreds of years after the invention of electricity, we still basically transmit electricity the same way, through wires. Nothing much has been done to improve the delivery of electricity. And it's hard to believe that after all these years, after all this time, in the year 2020, when we've had storm after storm after storm after storm, since electricity was invented in 1880, we still have to sit in the dark after a storm while the electric companies go out and put the wires back together. So we are still So 1880, 1980 to the, I mean, you know, so it was like 150 years or so after the invention of electricity. We're still, shout out to Rosalind Christie, who's watching the program. So all hundreds of years after, a century and a half after the invention of electricity, we're still transmitting electricity the same way. And no better, cleaner, more economical, or more effective power sources have been invented. And you know why? Money. Money. See, because money motivates some inventions, and then money delays some inventions. Because I'm pretty sure that there is a better way to, because it looks so primitive. When you pass by a power station or you pass by a transformer station, it looks, to me, it looks primitive. It looks like, wow, you know, this is old. Why are we still transmitting electricity the same way? Why years and years, a century plus after the invention of electricity, we still have to sit in the dark and wait for Con Ed or Public Service, PSE&G, or whatever your local electricity company might be? We have to sit by and wait for them to come and repair the wires hundreds of years later. It's just like oil, you know, for example. Oil is, you know, we know oil is causes pollution, and it says, but oil is money. Oil is money. So every time the clean air, clean energy, wind, and all types of different ways to produce power, every time that stuff goes up, it gets smacked down. You know why? Money. Money. Oil. Gas. So you know, until you know, maybe like in this, maybe like 200 years from now, like in the Star Trek days, maybe they'll finally decide to start where money won't matter as much as it does now. And maybe at that time, maybe you won't be, the produce energy production will be so cheap that it won't even, you probably won't even get charged for it. But that's hundreds of years from now. That's not 2020. So, you know, so I feel for you folks who have to sit in the dark for days and days, because the latest some estimates saying that they're not going to be done until next week. I'm like, wow, next week. That's incredible. Anyway, thank you so much, Ronald McCready, Sharon Chambers, Rosalind Christie, everybody who's watching the program. I can't see everybody, so I don't mention your name. Don't be offended, because I can't see all the names on the screen. All right, everybody, welcome. It's the Ron Kelly Show for a Thursday. It's August the 6th, 2020, and the coronavirus rages on. You know, I went somewhere last week, and I'm not going to say where I went, because I don't want people, I don't want some of the haters, like, you know, trying to dine me out or whatever, but I went somewhere just for a couple of days over the weekend, had a very nice time, just to get away from the coronavirus and the news and everything else, you know, that's going on in the world. And it was nice to sit on the beach and, you know, social distancing, water masks and everything like that. And it was nice to get away to the beach and just sit there for a couple of hours, maybe splash around in the water a little bit and kind of remember what we're all fighting to stay alive for. Because, you know, with this coronavirus and all that's going on, if you're sitting around and you're not doing anything, if you're sitting, it can take its toll on you. You know, there are folks who are going through it mentally. You know, a sudden loss of jobs, loss of sports, loss of outdoor, indoor dining, loss of, you know, just loss of your freedom, basically. Loss of your freedom. And now, you know, and to be more, even more draconian, the city of New York is setting up checkpoints. And this is right out of a Netflix movie, this Checkpoint Charlie stuff, right out of a Netflix movie. It's old 2020. I mean, I was saying to somebody the other day, shout out to my boy DP. I was saying to him the other day, like, boy, if I was a screenwriter, I'd be writing a screenplay for 2020 and what has happened so far this year. It's been absolutely unbelievable. And so kudos to you folks who have persevered through it. I personally myself have persevered through it, and it hasn't been easy. But kudos to y'all, to those of you who have stuck to it, the stick-to-itiveness to work your way through the to the coronavirus and all that has happened behind it. 20 weeks in a row, because oh God, I got the coronavirus. 20 weeks ago, I mean, for the 20th straight week, a million plus people have applied for unemployment. A million plus people in the last 20 weeks in a row, a million plus people have filed for unemployment. Now, it's been down a little bit. It was It was, last week it was 1.4 million. This week it was 1.2 million, but it's been consistently over a million for the first for the 20 weeks in a row. It's been consistently the same. All right, everybody, welcome. It's 17 minutes past the hour. You know what time it is. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Now, you know, I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, I need to sip this water, and I was doing a show like this last week. I don't want to do people like that. But, you know, when I come back from the break, I'm going to take a break in a couple seconds. When I come back from the break, we're going to talk about that Aurora, Colorado police making those young girls lie on a hot concrete. Aurora, Colorado, and making a mistake at the same time. Police do that often. Making a mistake and about what they're saying is a mix-up. Made those young girls, and you watch the video and you see the young girls crying. And anyone who wants people say F the police. Anyway, we'll take a quick break, and we'll talk about that, the kneeling. I got a lot to talk about this Thursday, and so do you. So let's take a quick break. And we come right back with more of this program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, the Ron Kelly Show.com.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly V. LLC.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Alrighty then. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. And boy, what a week it's been. Did I say that right? The Hurricane Isaias, whatever it is. Came through with a vengeance and did a lot of damage, and folks are still in the dark, and they're going to be in the dark for the foreseeable future while they try to figure out how to put the wires up. But again, you know, same situation, 1880, electricity was invented. Thomas Edison, right here in the great state of New Jersey, headed up by a not-so-great governor. But 1880, electricity was invented, and here in the year 2020, we are still, 140 years later, we are still going dark. Just unbelievable. Anyway, everybody, welcome back. It's me, yours truly, Ron Kelly, and it's Ron Kelly's show, and it is on blogtalkradio.com, WWP, 1490 AM in Tampa Bay, Florida, the number one talk radio station in Florida, exactly. And shout out to the people down there who Florida has ballooned into a little New York with the coronavirus uptick, tsunami, I should say, of new cases down there in Florida. So, you know, so pray for everybody. Pray for the whole United States of America as we go through this pandemic. And hopefully at some point, hopefully Trump is right, even though, you know, hopefully it will go away. I mean, that would be nice if it would just go away. Okay. So, you know, let's go back to Colin Kaepernick, if you will, for a second. Let's go back to Colin Kaepernick when Colin Kaepernick first began kneeling. Colin Kaepernick, who was a quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers at the time, started kneeling. Because Colin Kaepernick was fed up with police officers killing unarmed black citizens. So we started to kneel. And see, you know, and what happened when he started to see is white folks are living in denial. The Ku Klux Fringe Tea Party, the right wing psychos, living in denial. They are living in denial. See, because what happened was when Colin Kaepernick began to kneel, the people on the other side, the Tea Party, the Nashville Tea Party, and these folks wanted to divert the narrative because they couldn't accept, you know, they couldn't accept that the founding fathers of the United States of America were the very first sex traffickers. They were the very first human traffickers. Before the word, before the phrase, and before it was against the law. See, because they even fixed the law. The founding fathers of the United States of America even fixed the law so that human trafficking was legal. Sex trafficking was legal back in the day. So as not to, and to make matters worse, to add insult to injury, they decided that black folks, slaves, were not even considered a human being. So if they're a cow, if they're considered like a cow or a piece of livestock, of, you know, a cow, a lamb, a pig, if they're considered a piece of livestock, then we don't have, you know, they're not even people, so we don't have to worry about being prosecuted for this. We can rest easy. We can set our minds at ease. And so white folks, especially the Trump supporters, the GOP, the kook fringe Republicans, cannot accept that black folks are being slaughtered unnecessarily. Because they can't accept what happened a couple of hundred years ago with slavery. They can't accept that. And because it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. Who wants to be associated with people who are human traffickers? Who wants to be associated with people who held other people as indentured servants? Who wants to be associated with that? So the kook fringe, the Tea Party, the Republicans decided that they're going to flip the narrative on Colin Kaepernick. They're going to flip the narrative. You know what? We're going to make it about the military and the flag. Because we can't accept that the founding fathers of this country that we're so proud of were the very first human traffickers in human history, in the history of human beings. They were the first ones that were human traffickers. And the white folks couldn't accept that. Like, no, we gotta flip the narrative. We gotta flip the narrative. We gotta be in denial. You know, we have to be in denial. So white folks ran into denial. It's like a comfy bed and breakfast denial, you know. Because you ever go into, ever get been to a bed and breakfast where, you know, they have nice comfy bed and nice fluffy pillows and a, you know, a fluffy comforter and a four poster bed. So when you wake up, you don't wake up you wake up not in a hotel with its cookie cutter, well, office furniture, what it seems like, you know. You wake up in a nice, comfortable, cozy place. You go down and have breakfast in a real actual kitchen when you're in a bed and breakfast, in a real dining room, not the, you know, not the corporate, you know, corporate, no taste at all, no, just the box rooms and, you know, there's nothing, unless you're staying at a five-star hotel, there's nothing really comfortable about the mid-range, you know, hotels. So they're all in denial right now. The white folks have ran off in denial. Oh, you know, let's just deny what's happening in the world today. Let's just deny it. And let's flip the narrative. So instead of acknowledging, I mean, embracing the fact that police officers are destroying the lives of black folks, unarmed black folks, we'll flip it. So what's happened is that white folks, and not all, because there are a lot of white folks who listen to the Ron Kelly Show, but there are white folks who have decided that, you know, we're just gonna deny that police officers are killing unarmed black citizens. Let's just deny it. We don't have to deal with it. We'll just deny it, and we'll flip the script, and we'll point out, we'll make it instead of Colin Kaepernick's kneeling. Instead of it being recognized as him kneeling for unarmed black citizens who are killed routinely by the police, let's make it where let's turn it into something else. So they did. They turned it into something else. So, okay, now it's about the flag, disrespecting the flag. They flipped the narrative. They don't even have to deal with the safe and the comfy bed and breakfast of denial. And they flipped the script, and now they are attacking basketball players. LeBron James, who has done more for black people than Donald Trump has. And they flipped the script. They flipped the script. So now they're saying that the kneeling is about the flag. And we all know that kneeling is not about the United States flag and the flag of the United States of America. We know it's not about that. Colin Kaepernick kneeled in protest to the slaughter of unarmed African Americans by the police departments across this country. That's why Colin Kaepernick kneeled. But the white folks in the GOP and Trump himself all have decided that they're going to flip the narrative to, no. It's not about the police. It's about you people, meaning you people. It's about you people disrespecting the flag and the military. Now, we all know that one thing has nothing to do with the other. You know, anybody with some common sense would know that kneeling doesn't disrespect the flag. Anybody with good common sense would know that. But the white folks, because they don't want to accept what they not only don't want to accept what the founding fathers of the United States of America have done, it's they don't want to accept the fact that black people are being slaughtered by police. You know what? It absolves them of any responsibility. You know, because nobody likes feeling guilty. I know I don't like feeling guilty. You know, I don't like feeling guilty. So when you deny something, you absolve yourself of the responsibility. And this is what white folks, today's white folks, have done. They're denying that kneeling has anything to do with police officers, white police officers killing black folk. They're denying, because they feel it makes them feel better. It makes white folks feel better. That didn't happen. You know, it's about the flag. It's not about cops killing white black people. It's not about that. So this is what took place. So now, white folks. Not all, some, and the conservative radio and television personalities are now attacking people like LeBron James, you know, because they kneel before the game. You see, it would be one thing if, and I support the athletes and anybody else. I support the kneeling. I've supported 100%. Because I know that it's not about the military. But see, that's what people want you to think, that it's about the military. No. Because they don't want to feel guilty. So we'll just deny it, and we'll absolve ourselves of any responsibility. We'll just deny it. It's your fault. You shouldn't be kneeling. So because when you look at crime, when you look at, you know, Chicago and places like that where black folks have killed black folks, hundreds of children have died. Children, some still in the baby car seat, have died at the hands of other black folks. And I feel bad about that. I don't deny it, but I do feel bad about that. It's kind of embarrassing that black folks, black children are being killed, seized upon by other black people. Deny it would be cool, you know, if I could deny it, but I can't deny it because it's the truth. It's the truth. Black children are being murdered by other black, in some cases, children, teenagers. But I don't deny it. Because it's the truth. So, but white folks have decided that they're gonna just deny everything. There was never any slavery. white cops are not killing black people. Let's change the narrative so we don't feel so bad. And this is what's going on. So, you know, if any of you saw the video, the Aurora police, I mean, just reprehensible. And just when you think you've seen it all, George Floyd, you know, just when you think you've seen it all, nope, you got it. So you have the police chief in Aurora, Colorado, who apologized after her officers, and she was the interim police chief at the time that this happened. She's since been voted in as the permanent police chief, and there was not one dissenting vote, not one, out of the nine people who make up the city council of Aurora, Colorado, city of Aurora, Colorado. So, you know, and I know if any of you saw a video, I mean, it was heart-wrenching, you know, it was, you know, it makes you just want to lose it. You just want to lose it. When you see those young girls, the young black girls, and everybody in the car was black and all of the police officers were white. And you have the police, just when you think you've seen it all, you have the police making these young girls, one as young as 6 years old, lay on the ground. These bastards made those kids lay on the ground. And you wonder why. And there are, you know, people who I battle with on LinkedIn, you know, Twitter. I'm not big with Facebook. I mean, Facebook is cool. Facebook is easy. Facebook, you go on Twitter, you see, handle that. The Twitter is tough. And if somebody likes you on Twitter, they like you because they like you, not because they know you. That's not to kick anybody's back and watch Facebook, because I'm on Facebook right now. But these people, and you wonder why, you know, black folks and others, Black Lives Matter movement, say F the police. I don't subscribe to all that stuff. I don't subscribe to killing the police, and I don't subscribe to defund the police or dissolve the police. No, the police have a purpose. The police have a purpose. You know, when I'm out at work at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, I see the police roll by, I'm like, okay, good. Because you never know what's gonna happen. So I'm not down with the defund the police and all that stuff. I mean, should the police be repurposed? Yes. But you see, now this thing here. Now I'm not sure some of y'all saw these young girls. They went out. They were going out to get their nails done or whatever the case may be. And the car that they were driving in was reported. Had been reported as stolen. Matter of fact, the girl who was driving the car had reported the car as stolen in February. This is August. So somebody effed up. So it happened months ago. It happened in February. So so the police officers said they were making it's a high risk stop. Anytime the police stop a stolen car is a high risk stop, because you can always believe that there are people in the car who have weapons. So, to make these kids lay on the ground, 12 years old, 14 year, 17, 12, 14, and 6. Now, what kind of danger did these, a six-year-old, what kind of danger did she present to a police officer who is loaded down with weapons, both lethal and non-lethal? So when you look at that and you hear those, and I looked at the video, you know, I looked at the video and it broke my heart. You know, you see those young girls on the ground crying about, you know, because they were afraid. They didn't know what was going to happen. A six-year-old handcuffed, laying on her stomach, laying on the hot pavement in the parking lot. Just awful. I mean, what kind of humanity did any of the police officers possess? What kind of humanity when you make a six-year-old, a girl at that, a six-year-old girl handcuffed behind her back and laying on. Now, that's going to affect that girl for years. It's going to affect her for the rest of her life. A six-year-old who, you know, you would think that she has quite a long time to live if nothing happens. And see, this is the same police department that killed Elijah McClain, the 23-year-old violin player, who the police arrested and placed in a chokehold. That happened last August, a year ago. Now, when he passed out, and who knows what happened? I mean, this is just so ridiculous that when they called the paramedics after Elijah McClain, 23 years old, passed out, they called the paramedics, and the paramedics injected him with ketamine. I mean, ketamine, why would you? I mean, ketamine is dangerous. Ketamine is it says here in Wikipedia, ketamine is a medication mainly used for starting and maintaining anesthesia. So why would you? It induces a trance-like state while providing pain relief, sedation, and memory loss. So why would the EMTs, who's supposed to be saving a life, give this young man ketamine? One of the most dangerous drugs that probably should have been administered through IV just before you being operated on. So why did they give him ketamine? So he gave him the ketamine. He went into, he had a heart attack. And because of the loss of blood going to his brain, he subsequently went into a coma and you know, had brain damage. Brain dead. And he died a few days later. See, these are the things that, you know, and white folks, you know, why are they so mad? Why are they saying kill the police? Why are they saying, you know, and I don't, okay, you know, necessarily agree with killing the police. No. I'm not, don't want that to happen. But when these things, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, who was killed inside her house, you know, Botham Jean, all these people, one after another, after another, after another, black folks who have been killed by police. And white folks just, you know, especially the GOP and the coup fringe, the psychopath Republican Party, you know, shrug it off. You see, and what, you know, okay, let's say for example that, all right, we'll give you all of that. But then nothing happens. Now, because fire the police officers, like those police officers were fired, just slap on the wrist. Because guess what? They'll go to the next county and get a job with the police. They'll get another job. Some even resign. Yeah, you know what? I'm just out of here. They probably already have another job lined up. So this is why the police reform package in the United States Senate will probably never be approved unless the Democrats take over the Senate. That's when it'll be approved. But folks, white people have changed the narrative. I heard Donald Trump say, oh, you know, he went to watch the basketball game, which we really don't care if he watches or not. He goes to watch the basketball game, and when the players kneel, he turned the TV off. It's a disgrace. No, Mr. President, you're a disgrace. You're a disgrace. So what's happening is that white people have changed the narrative, flipped the narrative. Oh no, you're disrespecting the flag. No, we're not disrespecting the flag. Colin Kaepernick, when he first kneeled, and he knew his career would be over. Well, he had a hard, he'd be wound up in the XFL or someplace, which he refused to go to. And he knew when he took that first knee, he knew that it would be a problem. But he had the courage to do that on the national stage. Now, could he have picked a better place? Well, that's who knows. But Colin Kaepernick had the courage to kneel down when the national anthem was played. And he kneeled as a in protest because what the flag represents, it doesn't deliver to black folks. Doesn't deliver to black folks. When the flag was first sewed together by Betsy Ross hundreds of years ago, with the 13 stars, it has 50 now, of course, everybody knows that. It wasn't made for us. And even up until today, the United States of America still is not made for us. Still not made for black folks. So this, you know, so this narrative switch is just another one of the GOP, the Republican, filthy Republicans, just another one of their tactics, because they don't want to accept the fact that either they don't want to accept the fact that black folks are being killed by police officers, or they approve, of black folks being killed by police officers. So before I go to the break, let me just say this, that, you know, so you have these, you know, at the Black Lives Matter demonstrations. Now, there's people in there who are not, have nothing to do with Black Lives Matter. And Donald Trump is right that there are anarchists and there are people in there, but they're not Black Lives Matter people. They're people who have another agenda, have their own agenda. And those are the people who are, and there's going to be bad in everything, which is what these folks don't understand. There's going to be bad in everything. There's going to be Black Lives Matter protesters who are violent. It's going to be there. They're going to be people there who have an agenda who want to kick a cop's ass. You know, they're there. I mean, that's going to happen. You know, but to paint the whole Black Lives Matter movement as a bunch of thugs and criminals is unbelievable. While you absolve the police officers for everything that they do. Just unbelievable. All right, there's about 16 minutes left to the program. I'll take one more short break. And when I come back, we still got a lot to talk about in the next 15, 16 minutes or so. We'll take a quick break and come right back with more of this program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show. Yeah, yeah. The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
That's 100% correct. Don't get it twisted. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com, WWPR 1490 AM in Tampa Bay, Florida. Shout out to the people out there who have supported the Ron Kelly Show, climbing the ladder of success. I appreciate all the folks out there. And shout out to my web designer, Trinity Hart, who is putting together my website, brand new website, Ron Kelly Show website, blog. Everything you want to know about the Ron Kelly Show is going to be there. So you know, I need to get some information to her, and we're going to get that started, and it's going to be hot. Okay, so, you know, So the talk now is about the kids going back to school. You know, peace be upon those 150-something thousand people. Unbelievable number. Unbelievable. And you know, and it's relatively small compared to the 300 or so million people in the United States of America. Even with the nearly 5 million folks, black folks, I mean not black folks, 5 million people, closing in on 5 million people who have contracted the coronavirus, it's still a very tiny representation of the population of the United States of America. So, you know, with 330 million people and almost 5 million people have caught the virus. Now, I'm not advocating for Donald Trump. I'll be so happy on November 3rd when he is removed from office by Joe Biden, who I'm not that excited about either. But, you know, nobody's excited about Joe Biden. Anyway, there's too much light on me. Anyway, So talk about the school system for a second, you know, because there are folks who are ready for this, you know, Donald Trump especially is, okay, that's a little bit better. Donald Trump is advocating for kids to go back to school. And, you know, it's, who do you think is suffering? Who do you think hasn't gotten any education? You know, see, you know, it's okay, I mean, you want to protect the kids, you know, I get that. So you don't want to have them, you know, going to school and possibly getting infected with the coronavirus. Okay, that's fine. But see, but when you talk about homeschooling, you know, I mean, do you really think that people who live in the projects are going to have the facilities to send their kids to internet school? You see, because, you know, even, you know, because many poor black and brown people have to work. You know, they have to go to work. They can't, you know, I mean, you know, the people who are going to be successful are white folks in the suburbs, and maybe an assorted number of black folks, a very tiny percentage of black folks who have the facilities to homeschool their kids. So in the hood, there ain't a whole lot of kids who are, in the hood, there's not a whole lot of kids who are homeschooling as prescribed by, you know, some of the school systems across the country. Here in New Jersey, for example, you know, all the schools are closed everywhere. So these black kids, black and Hispanic, low income, no income folks, are going to be way behind when school comes back into session. Way behind, because they don't, because black folks, poor folks, not just black, but poor folks don't have the facilities, don't have the big screen computer and all the other stuff that you need to have a kid be taught at home. A lot of, you know, poor people don't have it. They don't have it. You see, so when they, you know, so when they talk about homeschooling and kids being, you know, a link to the classroom and the teachers there on the screen, and a lot of folks don't have that. A lot of black folks don't have that. So, you know, all this money that's being thrown into school systems, and a lot of the kids went home with no laptop, no desktop, no nothing, you know, because the family is, you know, trying to stay ahead of the game, is trying to keep a roof over their head and food in everybody's mouths. So black folks and brown folks are suffering through this pandemic, not just with the pandemic, not just with the loss of jobs, but and some people, you know, for a lot of people, school allowed the family members or school allowed the parents to go to work. The school is free. You don't have to pay. You know, a lot of people can't afford to have a babysitter. People who are working at, you know, at the dollar store down the way, or, you know, or some other place that doesn't pay that well and doesn't provide any assistance. Many companies in the United States of America, this great country, So these folks have to rely on the school system to keep their kids for a day while they go to work, basically. Many of the kids, black and brown children, have to eat, you know, depend on the school system for breakfast and lunch because there's no food in the house. So when the school system closed, who did it hurt? It hurt the black and brown community because you have no place to put your kids. You know, you're working somewhere making minimum wage at best, a lot of them. So you have no place to put your kids. You can't afford a babysitter. So what happens? Now you can't work. And on top of that, not only can you not work, but now you have a new problem where you have to figure out how you're going to feed your kid three times a day when the school was feeding them twice a day. So they still have to figure it out, you know. Yeah, it sounds nice. Yeah, make your kids stay home. You know, just like this coronavirus, you know, I hear a lot of people say, well, I'm working from home. Oh, yeah, that sounds nice. I can't work from home. It's not to say it's anybody's fault. The people who do work from home, it's not their fault. But I can't work from home. I got to go to work. And there are many people, black and brown people, who have to go to work, who don't have the resources. I mean, thank God I don't have any school-age children anymore. But, well, last one just graduated from high school last year. But, now you're not working. You got no place to put your kids. Now you got to feed them. So you're not working and you got to feed them. I mean, that's two monumental tasks right there. So many folks have not been, you know, more pain than it's being. I mean, yeah, we got a lot of people on unemployment. True indeed. A lot of people on unemployment. 1.2 million people filed for new unemployment benefits. These are new cases. 1.2 million. It's been a million a week for the past 20 weeks in a row. Hey, Gail Carnegie. Shout out to you, boo. Gail Carnegie on the Ron Kelly Show. 6 minutes left, but it's okay. I appreciate you coming on anyway. I'm not going to get into it, but, you know, shout out to my audience, you know, thousands of people who listen to the Ron Kelly Show on Blog Talk Radio and on other mediums. Okay, so yeah, so black folks, black and brown folks, Hispanics, low wage earners are now, this is another problem that doesn't get the coverage from the cable networks because it's all about Trump and his nonsense. You know, hopefully we're winding down the Trump era in the next 86 days, I believe it is, and Trump will be gone. But so black and brown people are faced with a serious problem, and black kids and brown kids are going to be way behind the eight ball when school starts back up. And they're going to be getting left back, left and right. Or they'll get social promotion, and they'll be promoted even though they haven't learned nothing in the last year. In the interest of school test results and bonuses that are given to school superintendents, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, those are the people, our folks, are going to have serious problems when it's time to come back to school full time, whenever that's going to be. Well, actually, whenever they come up with a cure or a vaccine, that's when it's going to be. So our kids, the black and brown children, don't have computers and just don't have the many of the households in the hood and stuff just don't have the discipline. The children in many cases are not disciplined. You know, you can hate me if you want for saying that, but it's true. A lot of the kids don't have discipline. A lot of the kids listen to their friends more than they listen to their parents, more often than not, in the hood. Because, I'll get into it next week. But, so our people have this issue. And sorry for Murphy to say, oh, you know, we're going to do all homeschooling. But you're not providing the tools that all the kids need in order to succeed. Because many of the folks in the hood and the projects don't have the infrastructure in place for the kids to stay home. And a lot of those kids, when they get up in the morning, they are out the door. You know, it's summertime, it's hot. You know, they get up, try to scramble, scrape something together to eat, and they are gone. You know, because in many cases, the discipline is not there because of the family structure in the Black community is not the way it should be. I'm getting into that next week. I'm going to do a segment on that, on the family structure in the Black community and what's really hurting the Black community. I'll get into that, do that next week. Anyway, just a couple minutes left to the program, everybody. So I want to thank you all. Thank you to my folks on who listen to the program on the radio, on blogtalkradio.com. I have like thousands of followers on Facebook, but many of them, you know, may not be able to listen to the program or watch the program, you know. So I get it. You know, people come in and they leave, you know, come in for the first few minutes. If I'm not saying nothing they want to hear, they bounce. I do the same thing when I listen to the radio when I'm at work. So I get it. But shout out to the people, the core people, the people that make the Ron Kelly Show run on Facebook Live, and those folks on Instagram and elsewhere who support the Ron Kelly Show, and especially on Blog Talk Radio and at WWPR 1490 AM, because after all, this is a radio show. Anyway, everybody, thanks so much for joining me. Thank you for listening. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to check me out here on the Ron Kelly Show. I hope I said something that will help you navigate your way through this crazy world that we are experiencing here in 2020. And I bet you, I know for me, you know, when I go out, hopefully by then we'll be able to go out and celebrate 2021 and say goodbye to 2020. I know many of you will be extra enthusiastic. I know I will be, to say goodbye to 2020. But even so, though, despite all that's going on, many of you have survived the coronavirus. You're still alive. You're still alive, and you got a roof over your head. Many of us think some of us things haven't changed at all. Like for me, for example, nothing has changed. Just, you know, just got to watch out for the coronavirus now. So thank you, Sharon Allen Chambers. Love you, Sharon Allen Chambers. Ronald McCready, my fourth grade. It's unbelievable that he remembered me. Anyway, because I have no memory. All right. So thank you, everybody. And I'm going to get into that more about the family structure in the Black community and how that, even as much as police violence and some of the other redlining, housing discrimination, how the lack of structure in the Black family hurts us as much as a lot of these other things do, police killings and so on and so forth. All right, everybody, so I'm out. I got about 30 seconds left to the program. Everybody, do take care of yourself. Wash your hands, wear your mask, and do all the things you need to do to protect yourself from this deadly coronavirus, and we'll see you back here next week for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show. So until then, everybody, take care of yourself. Remember that it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice, and that we may not have it all together, but together, we certainly have it all. Thank you so much. I think I'm done.